Now that you're standing, I'm going to invite you to open up your Bibles to Matthew chapter 9. Matthew chapter 9. We greet all the visitors one more time. So nice to have you here with us this morning. We have, I believe it's Nicole and Jonathan who are here. Arlene's co-workers, welcome. And the young lady in the front, thank you so much for being with us. God bless you. Welcome. And anyone else who are visiting us here for the first or second time, may the Lord bless you. If you don't have a place that you call your home of worship, we invite you then to join Elohim Christian Church in the fellowship as a family as we move forward in the things that the Lord is putting in our hearts. Matthew chapter 9, verses 9 through 13. So last week we started a teaching on finishing strong. Today we want to bring the second part to that teaching. Last week we talked about somebody who started well and finished off bad. But today we want to talk about somebody who started off bad but finished off well. Matthew chapter 9, verse 9 through 13. As Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told him. And Matthew got up and followed him. While Jesus was having dinner at Matthew's house, many tax collectors and sinners came and ate with him and his disciples. When the Pharisees saw this, they asked his disciples, "Why does your teacher eat with tax collectors and sinners?" On hearing this, Jesus said, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick. But go and learn what this means. I desire mercy, not sacrifice. For I have not come to call the righteous, but sinners." Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. For your word is a light unto our feet and a lamp unto our path. It is our compass in life. It leads us and guides us in all seasons and all times, O Lord. So we submit to it, Lord. We know it is the final authority, O God. So we open our hearts to it this morning, our minds to it, Lord, that you would speak into our hearts, Lord God, and we would meditate on your heart, on your word, and that it would draw us closer to you, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Finishing strong, or finishing well. Finishing well. Last week we talked about King Saul. He started off good. If you weren't here last week, you can go back to our Facebook page and see the sermon, or go back to our website and hear the sermon. But King Saul started off, he started off good. The Bible says that Samuel the prophet anointed him, that God's presence was over his life, that the people were just loving him, and there was something special about Saul in the beginning of his ministry, and he was king of Israel for 42 years. But King Saul started off good, but he finished off bad. In fact, at the end of his life, he finished off seeking the advice of a witch, the counsel of a witch, and ended up taking his life. And we talked about this last week, and we said, why did this happen? Because Saul did not give attention to some of the things in his life. He did not give attention to his weaknesses. He did not give attention to his spiritual disciplines. He did not give attention to his own attitude. He did not give attention to his goals. And he did not give attention to the people that God had put around him. And because he did not give attention to those things, he slowly slipped away. And after 42 years of being king, he finished off taking his very life. How can that be? How can it be that someone who had God's presence, who had God's purpose, who had God's blessing, who had the favor of the people, how could it be that you would start off well and finish off so bad? Because he did not give attention to those particulars of his life. Today I want to talk about somebody who started off bad, but he finished off strong. How many know that's a better story? Amen, right? He started off bad, but he finished off strong. Now, there was a lot of people we could have talked about, but I wanted to talk about Matthew. Matthew, he's one of the 12 disciples. Matthew was a tax collector, right? When Jesus calls him in the verses that we've read here today, he was a tax collector. Now, most of you know this already, but a tax collector of that time was like one of the worst of the community. Hated He was a Jew that had betrayed his own people. Hebrew man that had betrayed his own people. He had aligned himself with the Roman government. Under the protection of the Roman government, he would take the taxes of his own people, taking a little extra for himself, paying the Roman government, and the Roman government would offer him protection and would allow him to live among his own community because that was his job. Tax collectors, their only friends were other tax collectors because nobody wanted anything to do with them. Their own family had isolated them. They were not allowed to worship in the synagogue no more. They were seen as outcast people. They were seen as betrayers. They were isolated and they had to build their own community because they were not accepted among their own people. They were seen with the lows of the lows. In fact, on times in scriptures, you'll see that it says tax collectors and prostitutes. They were lined together along the same level. That's how they were seen within their community. So now here's Matthew, and he's behind his tax collector booth, and he is collecting taxes there. And here Jesus looks at him and says, "Come, follow me." Now that, for us, we think, well, we're all tax collectors, right? And we're all beggars seeking bread, and we found bread. And for us, that doesn't really impact us that much because, you know, we all come from this, right? But for that time, it was like, a tax collector? Jesus is looking for a tax collector to follow him? Is he trying to align himself up with the Roman government? Is he looking for financial gain? Or what would be the purpose of a tax collector really coming and following Jesus? But Jesus wanted to make sure that he would finish off well. He would finish off strong. So Matthew, he calls. He takes the call. He responds and he becomes one of Jesus's 12 disciples. And for 3.5 years, he follows Jesus. And for 3.5 years, he sees the great challenges that Jesus has before him. But it's interesting because for Matthew to leave his tax collector booth and follow Jesus was no light thing. It's interesting. He probably had no family, no friends, or few friends. But for him to leave that lifestyle would mean he no longer had the protection of the Roman government. He no longer was associated with those people. And now he would give himself completely over to Jesus. And he does that for 3.5 years. He follows Jesus. And we know that he is there on the day of Pentecost. And he becomes a herald of the gospel, an evangelist for the gospel. In fact, he writes the book of Matthew, the first gospel that we read in the New Testament. He writes the book. And you know who Matthew is geared towards? Geared towards the Hebrew people, the Jews. When you read Matthew, you can read it through the lens that he was trying to show Jesus as the Messiah to the very Hebrew people. The very people that would want nothing to do with Matthew. The very people that would hated him for his position with being aligned with the Roman government. Now he writes a book trying to convince them that Jesus is the Messiah. Wow, someone who started off bad, but he finished off strong. He finished off so well. So I want to just look at the story that we read, some of these verses here, and I want to share 3 observations with you that I hope we can apply to our lives to help us to finish off well. The first one is embrace the invitation. Matthew embraced the invitation. He invites, Jesus invites Matthew to follow him. We remember who Matthew was and as a tax collector. And Jesus knew who he was. He knew his life wasn't right. But Matthew gets an invitation from the master. Come, follow me. I'm sure that Matthew was unhappy with his life. I'm sure that he needed a change. He was not satisfied with his life. He was probably sad that he could not worship in the synagogue. He was probably sad that he was isolated from his loved ones. So he takes this challenge. He takes this invitation to follow Jesus for change in his life. And for 3.5 years, he witnesses Jesus. He witnesses the miracles. He witnesses the working of Jesus' hands. He witnesses the cross, the resurrection, the ascension, the day of Pentecost. He witnesses and becomes an evangelist for Jesus. He started off bad, but he finished off good. Where did it all begin? It began with an invitation. Isn't that wonderful to know that Jesus invites us right where we are to come and follow him? There's an invitation for each and every one of us to follow him, to make him our master, to make him our savior, to make him our Lord, and to finish off living the life that he has called us to live. It's an invitation. Embrace the invitation in this day. Isn't it wonderful to know that we don't need to be perfect to follow Jesus? He will take us just as we are. He didn't tell Matthew, make some changes, Matthew. Right some wrongs. No, he looked at him and said, just come as you are and follow me. Come with your mess. Come with your sin. Come with your broken self. Come just the way you are and come follow me. What an awesome invitation. Perhaps there's someone here today that is struggling in life and you know that you need change and you know that there are things in your life that are not right and there is a sense of isolation and a sense of being broken and a sense of knowing that something new has to happen in your life. I want to tell you that don't wait to make the changes to follow Jesus. Come today and embrace the invitation to come follow him. Each and every one of us that are here today, we're all beggars that have found bread. We were all lost and we found God's grace. The Bible says that there's not one that is righteous, not even one. Tozer, in his book, The Voice of a Prophet, he writes this: forgive us, God, simply for who we are. Talking about our sinful nature that resides within us and constantly wants to bring separation between us and God. He quotes those words and he says, forgive us, God, for who we are. Why? Because we need to be born again by the Spirit. And that happens as we receive an invitation from Jesus to follow him. He offers us an invitation today. Just because he's God and he can, and he offers it with his unconditional love in spite of who we are and in spite of what we have done, he says, come and follow me. He offers us an invitation because he's the only one that can take the broken and bring healing. He's the only one that can make the broken whole again. He's the only one that can take the loss and give them purpose. He's the only one that can take the unsatisfied and bring contentment into their life. He looks at the sinner and he says, come, follow me. I want to encourage you here today. Maybe you've been in the gospel for a long time and you feel like the Lord is talking maybe to somebody else because I'm a follower of Jesus. But this must compel us to think of our neighbor, compel us to think of those who are around us. Do we offer this message of salvation to those who don't know Jesus? Don't wait for perfection to become a Christian or to follow Jesus. In your state, come follow him. I love the words of Jesus when he said, I have come that they may have life and that they would have it to the fullest. I love that thought that Jesus said, my reason here is that you would be whole and complete and well. Jesus doesn't require people to change before they come to him. He sought them out where they were and he extends grace to them and mercy to them right in the midst of their circumstance. And he comes to bless them and to bring change to their lives. If we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, he does a work from the inside out. He begins to work on our inside and make some changes, and before we know it, it reflects on who we are and how we live. Sometimes we were taught you go to church and you just got to change everything. Change the way you dress and the way you look, and you got to shave and you got to wear a certain type of clothes. And we want to change the exterior, but as we change the exterior, nothing really happens. It's the Word of God penetrating deep in our heart that begins to do a work in our inside, and it slowly creeps into our outside and changes who we are. It's an inside-outside process. And I love the words of the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 2, verse 4. He says, do you show contempt for the riches of his kindness, forbearance and patience, not realizing that God's kindness is intended to lead you to repentance? And I love this verse because he's saying, do you not realize Don't reject God's goodness in your life. Don't reject God's kindness, God's patience. How many know God has been patient with us? Don't reject it, because it's God's goodness and God's patience with you and God's mercy with you that draws you to repentance. It's that God has been good to us that draws us to repentance. It's that God has been merciful to us that brings us to say, Lord, would you forgive me? God's kindness leads us to repentance. When Jesus said, I have not come for the healthy, Jesus points out that only those who realize their need can follow him. Maybe you're here today and you know that you're not right. And you know that there's something about your life that's not right. You know, it's interesting because Matthew was around the religious things, around his own people who were very religious, around the synagogue. He was around this religious community. He had heard, but not changed. He had seen, but not changed. He probably had been confronted, but not changed. It was only till he had an encounter with Jesus that brought true change into his life. You know what one of my greatest fears is? My greatest fear is that sometimes we have become institutionalized in our religion. We have become institutionalized because we've been born and raised in the church, and because we've been here so long, and because we serve in these different positions, we have become institutionalized in this bringing. But we're standing behind a tax collector's booth in the midst of all the spiritual things that are happening. And God is calling some of us who've been in this a long time, who's saying, you know, it's time for you really to come and follow me. And the church says, amen. I want to encourage you here today. Finish off strong. Remember the warning signs that we talked about last week? Those were for the ones that were doing good. We thought we were doing good. We're in this a long time. Watch our warning signs and let's finish off strong. So today I remind you not to follow religion or not to follow a church or not to follow any type of leader or pastor or evangelist. Come follow Jesus and he will help you finish off strong. He will help you finish well, because he's the only one that can make us finish well. The only one that can bring completion and contentment to our lives. It's only Jesus. And the church says, amen. Finishing strong, finishing well. Our second observation this morning, first one is, to finish well, we must embrace his invitation. The second one is, we must embrace the opportunity. We must embrace the opportunity. Our past failures do not have to determine our future success. Matthew could have said, I'm a tax collector. I can never be anything else. I'm stuck in this. Once you're in this, you're in this. Your family will never take you back. Your community will never take you back. In fact, if I release myself from this responsibility and I no longer have the protection of the Roman government, I'm even afraid what will happen to my very own life. He could have looked at Jesus and said, that's a nice invitation, and how I wish I can follow you, because I hate where I am and what I become. But I'm stuck in this and I can't follow you, because if I do, I may lose it all, including my very life. I love that Matthew did not do that, but he embraced the opportunity to come follow Jesus. He did not let his past or present circumstance dictate what God wanted to do in his life, but he embraced the opportunity and he said, I will follow you. So many times God speaks into our lives, and it's an opportunity for increase. It's an opportunity for growth. It's an opportunity to see the power of God manifested in our life. It's an opportunity to see God's mighty hand come into our life. It's an opportunity to see God do what he wants to do in our lives. But we don't embrace the opportunity. We reject it because we're afraid. And we're more content in where we are. And we're afraid. So many times we're stuck in our own addictions, and we're stuck in our own circumstances, and we're stuck in our own conditions, and we miss the opportunity that he gives us to follow him and see his glory and see his might. I want to remind you today that God is an expert at restoring the broken and reestablishing the lost. He's an expert at it. But we must stand in faith The Bible teaches us that we are not to walk by sight, but to walk by faith. We must embrace the opportunity that is offered to us. We must trust God with our today and trust God with our tomorrow. We must be obedient to the very thing that is before us, and we will see His glory, and we will see His might, and we will see His power, because we have embraced the opportunity that He has given us. It saddens me sometimes to see that we're afraid to give because we don't trust enough. We're afraid to serve because it will take of our own time and our own energy. We become religious, and we protect ourselves from the things that God wants us to release ourselves and see how He wants to supply and bless each and every one of us. Do you remember the Samaritan woman at the well? She was broken, and she was a sinful woman, and I love that she braced the opportunity that she had and had a conversation with Jesus, and her conversation with Jesus brought her a message of hope. He was saying to her, your past does not have to determine your future. Right? The man with leprosy, this is one of my favorite stories, I love it so much. The man with leprosy, he was an outcast to his community because of his condition of leprosy. And he has the boldness to approach Jesus in the midst of a community. And he approaches Jesus and looks at Jesus and says, if you're willing, you can make me clean. And I love Jesus' response. He says, I am willing. And that word, that I am willing, when you look at it up in the original language, the leopard is saying to Jesus, if it is your will, you can make me well. If it's within your will. And Jesus said, it's in my will that you would be well. I love that. He's saying, my will for your life is that you would be well. You see, your current condition does not have to dictate your future. But we must embrace the opportunity. If that man did not come down and confront Jesus in the midst of his condition, he would have never seen the power and might of God. For the Bible says at the moment he became well. We must embrace the opportunity. I love when Peter approaches Jesus in Luke 5 after the nets are full of fish, and he approaches them and he looks at Jesus and he says, apart from me, for I am a sinful man. That is his current condition. And in the midst of his current condition, Jesus looks at him and says, I'm going to make you a fisher of men. Embrace the opportunity. Our current condition does not have to dictate our future. Who we were does not have to dictate our future. We can embrace the opportunity. The man with leprosy, 38 years at the pool of Bethesda, waiting for a miracle. And Jesus walks in. And Jesus heals him. And Jesus finds him in the synagogue and says, I see that you're well. I love that about Jesus. He looks at him and says, I see you're well. Man, look at you. You're walking and 38 years. And I see you're well. How many know that once we've had an encounter with Jesus, we're well? Right? Something has happened. We're not who we used to be, paralyzed in sin and shame and brokenness. I love that. He says, I see you're well. Yes, I'm well. And Jesus tells him, then go and sin no more. Go and sin. In other words, embrace the opportunity that you have had and live a different life. And then Jesus tells him, if not, something worse can happen to you. You see, embrace the opportunity. Jesus tells Matthew, you don't have to stay behind this tax booth. Obviously, I'm paraphrasing there. Come and follow me. I remind you today, embrace the opportunity. Our past failures do not have to determine our future success. Our willingness to embrace the opportunity that Jesus gives us today will change our lives forever. We can absolutely finish strong. The Bible says His mercies are new every day. Every day His mercies are new. We can finish strong. An author wrote, the secret of success is to be ready when the opportunity comes. The secret of success is to be ready when the opportunity comes, to embrace the opportunity so that we can finish strong. Have you ever had an opportunity in your life to do something and you did it and that was life-changing for you? Life-changing for you. I remember the first time I preached. It was on a Friday night in our old church. I was probably about 20, 21. I just shared this with our homiletics class in the Bible Institute this week. And I'm not going to get into the whole details of the whole experience, but I want to tell you it was probably the worst sermon I've ever preached. And I want to tell you it only lasted about 6 minutes. Some of you are saying right now, man, too bad this one didn't last 6 minutes. Right? It lasted about 6 minutes. And I finished the sermon with these words. God bless you and bye-bye. Now, I had my good friend, most of you know him, Pastor Joe Andino. He was sitting right there in the front there, a few benches back. And I looked at his face and he went like this. Like, out of all the things you can say, you're saying bye-bye. I went to the front bench. I knelt down and I said, Lord, would the rapture occur right now? Take me from this. I don't want to face the people and face the embarrassment that I just went through. I share this story to share. I embraced the opportunity to preach. And although it was a terrible experience, today when I preach, it always stays with me. And I always say, God, don't let the sermon be about me, but let it be about you. And I always say, God, no one wants to bomb. Anybody who tells you they want to bomb, they're not telling you the truth. Nobody wants to bomb. But God, that my concept of bombing would be so superficial that our desire would be that you would be glorified. And that, the Lord allowed it to be my first sermon. He allowed it to really mark my heart, mark my ministry. I embraced the opportunity, and I thought that day that I never would preach again because I just didn't think that I was called to preach. But it was an opportunity that God wanted to teach me for the future, that every sermon cannot be about me, but it has to be about Him. So thank God that He used that time to teach me those things. And as I've grown a little older now and I've preached a few more times, I always remember the opportunity that God gave me to learn something that was vital, that was going to be vital in my ministerial life. Today I tell you, what opportunities has God given you? And maybe you think that you have failed at some things. No, sometimes it's those failures that open our hearts and our minds to what God really wants to do in our lives. I want to encourage you here today to embrace every opportunity that you believe that God is giving you, because as you do it, He's going to help you to finish off well. He's going to help you to finish off strong. But we must embrace the opportunities that God has given us. See, God wants to teach us something that we can finish off strong. It's an invitation to life so that we can finish off in a way that honors Him. And what would that be? What would that be? Well, God is teaching us and giving us opportunities so that we can be the best spouse that we can be, and the best parents that we can be, and the best children that we can be, and that we can be good, the best friends to our friends, and the best siblings to our siblings, and we can be the best Christians that God has called us to be, and that would be finishing off strong. But we must embrace the opportunities that are before us. So you could be a Christian and God has called you, but if you don't embrace the opportunities, you can never see God's hand, God's might, God's power, God's wisdom. You can never see what God wants to do in you and through you if you don't embrace the opportunities. And the church says, so today we're talking about finishing off strong. And we wanted to talk about Matthew, who had a rough start, but he finished off well. We must embrace the invitation to follow Jesus and know that that's the only way it's going to happen. The second thing is we must embrace the opportunity that He gives us. And the third thing is we must embrace the relationship, embrace the friendship of Jesus. We must embrace the relationship that we have with Jesus. So I love that Matthew does a few things. The first thing he does is he invites Jesus to his house. And his tax collector friends, because that's all that he had. And Jesus begins to teach them. He begins to teach them. Then Matthew also did what? He went and he followed Jesus for 3.5 years. And he was there on the day of Pentecost and he was filled with the Spirit. But what happened in those 3.5 years? He built his relationship with Jesus, and that allowed him to write the book of Matthew to convince other Jews that Jesus is the Messiah. But it was through a relationship with Jesus. You see, I love that Jesus tells his disciples, no longer do I call you servants, but for the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends. For all that I have heard from my Father, I have made known to you. Isn't it awesome that Jesus calls us friends? And all that I have, I've made known to you. Why? Because I want you to live a life that honors our Father in heaven and that you can finish off strong. So embrace the relationship that we have with Jesus. Embrace the relationship that we have with Jesus. And sometimes I get very, as I've already mentioned in this sermon, I get very concerned for those who have had the same upbringing that I have had, that we've been in this a long time. We become a little institutionalized. I get concerned for us that we just kind of just, we just know how to ride the wave. And God is telling us, I want to show you new things. I want to give you a new opportunity to enjoy me at a new level, right? So I love this. I love that in those 3.5 years that Matthew walked with Jesus, he got to see Jesus preach the Sermon on the Mount. Now, the Sermon on the Mount. Now, if you want to read the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew chapter 5 through chapter 7, I love the Sermon on the Mount. And I forgot who the preacher was, but he said Jesus was like a man on fire as he preached that sermon, right? Matthew was there. He got to see Jesus' compassion for the sick, and he got to see Jesus' passion for the lost. Matthew finished strong because he learned well. He finished well because he learned well. So today, I want to remind you, your relationship with Jesus, we must embrace it. Embrace it. The proverb, King Solomon said this in Proverbs 13:20, whoever walks with the wise becomes wise. If we walk with Jesus, we get to enjoy the attributes of Jesus in our lives, right? We come to know the love of Christ. If you walk with him, you come to know the love of Christ. You've experienced it, and then you get to give it. Much grace you received, much grace you give. Romans says, God demonstrated his love for us that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. You've embraced his forgiveness through the relationship that you have with Christ, and then you give that same love to others, and that will help you finish off strong. It would help you finish well. When you learn and understand what it is to be forgiven, forgiving others come easy. When you have embraced your own forgiveness, you embrace the opportunity to forgive someone for the harm or shame or hurt that they have caused you. Why? Because you know the shame and hurt that you have caused. And because you've been forgiven, it's easy for you to forgive. See, if we want to finish off strong, we must embrace God's attribute of love. See, if we want to finish off strong, we must embrace his attribute of forgiveness, as he has not only loved us, but he forgave us. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If Christ forgave us, then we can forgive others. Not only love them, but forgive them. And if we can forgive them, we can finish off strong. If you look at those who are bitter, of those who are holding on to things that they need to let go. You look at those who are resentful, of those who are holding on to things in the past that they need to let go. If you look at those who are prideful, it's because they're trying to compete with somebody else in their life. And they miss out on the opportunity to finish off well because they're not giving attention to some of their own very weaknesses. But if we embrace forgiveness and we give it, you see, if we want to finish off well, we come to know the hope that we have in Christ. The hope. The hope is that he will help us in every circumstance in our lives. The hope is that he will come for us again. The hope is that we can have his peace in our lives. We embrace this and it helps us finish off well. But if we never come to know Jesus, we can never come to know the hope that he has for us. Right? In our relationship, we come to know his peace, that he has peace for us. Right? Peace, I leave with you. He's saying the very thing that I am, peace, I leave it with you. See, the world can never give you this peace, for they don't know this peace. But I am this peace, and I give it to you. I leave it for you. And that peace tells us that, what? That the sovereign God who rules over our lives, who knows our past and present and our future, sees what we see and sees what we don't see. He's helping to lead us, and we align our will with his will, and we embrace peace because we know that he has left us with his own peace. And when we understand peace and we don't live in conflict and we don't constantly live in hardships with others, we embrace peace. We embrace even to understand that sometimes things come to our lives like sickness and loss. And other things come to our lives that we don't understand. But we embrace peace because we understand that Jesus has given us peace. And it comes through our relationship with him. And it allows us to finish off strong. It allows us to finish off well. We've come to know our purpose as we have this relationship with Jesus. We've come to know our purpose. Come to know that we live for him. That we are his servants. We are slaves to righteousness and slaves to what is right. We don't become slaves to fame or finances or fortune. No, we don't become slaves to those things. Our desire is to be slave to what is right and what is righteous and all that is godly. And when you think that way and you live that way, you finish off well. You finish off strong. In the relationship with Jesus, we've come to know the power of God. And the power of God changes us and transforms us. Now to him who is able to give us far more abundantly than all that we ask and think according to the power that is within us. We have power to overcome temptation because of our relationship with Jesus. We have power to release ourselves from strongholds of the enemy because of our relationship with Jesus. We have power to do the right thing because of our relationship with Jesus. You see, we must embrace our relationship with Christ if we want to finish off strong. It is our daily walk with God. It is our everyday walk with God that allows us to finish off strong. If we don't, we will slowly not give attention to some of those things that are taking us away. But if we walk with Christ every day, embrace the relationship, God is going to do some great and mighty things with us and through us for the glory of the Father. And when you look back at your life, if Jesus is to tarry, you will say the words of the Apostle Paul, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith, and now all that there is in store for me is a crown of righteousness, not only for me, but for all those who love his coming. You see, the spirit of contentment, the Apostle Paul had suffered hunger and thirst and was shipwrecked and he was whipped and he was abandoned and he was forsaken and he was lonely and he was in prison. How could it be that a man who had suffered so much on this earth finished off his life saying, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race, I have kept the faith. Now all that there is in store for me is a cross. The spirit of contentment, where did it come from? Where did it come from? Where did the spirit of being satisfied with your life as an old man, knowing all that you suffered, it came through his relationship with Jesus Christ, where he says, I was the worst of sinners, but Christ met me there. So I want to encourage you today to finish off strong. Finish off strong. Finish well. Maybe you're here today and you're not doing so good. And you feel like you could relate a little bit to Matthew. You're around the spiritual things. But when you look deep inside your life, you're like, man, I'm not really doing well. I'm not doing well. But Jesus says, come follow me. You'll finish strong. Embrace the invitation to come follow him. Embrace it. Know that he stands before you and says, come from that place that you're in right now. Come from that darkness that you're in right now, that isolation that you're in right now. Come follow me. I tell you, embrace the invitation, embrace the opportunity, because the opportunity will let you see his power and his might. It will let you see his glory. Embrace the opportunity that he's given you to say, you don't have to be in that place. You don't have to be in that situation. And then embrace the relationship. It just doesn't stop there. Embrace the relationship, because in the relationship you come to understand forgiveness and love and purpose and peace and power. You'll come to understand those things. And those are the very attributes that you need in your life so that you can finish strong. And the church says, I want to invite you to stand as we get ready to close. Thank you, Lord. Father, we thank you, Lord, for your word. For it's a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path. It leads us and guides us every single day. Without it, we're lost. We keep it in our hearts so that we won't sin against you. Father, you are challenging us over these last 2 weeks to finish well, to finish strong. Lord, you reminded us that any of us, if we're not careful, regardless of our beginnings, we could finish off bad. Some of us have started off good, but we haven't been given careful attention to our lives, as we spoke last week. And if we're not careful, we can finish off bad. And others, we started off bad, but we've embraced the invitation. And we're reminded today that embracing opportunity and embracing our relationship with you will help us to maintain ourselves well so that we can finish well. Father, I pray, Lord God, that you would open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Teach us your ways. Forgive us of our sins, our failures, and our faults. And the times, Lord God, when you speak to our hearts and we close ourselves to the very things that you're saying. Help us to apply your word to our lives. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Maybe you're here today and the Lord is speaking to you in a special way. And you're saying, I would like prayer to help me apply the word of God to my life. As we sing this next song, I want to invite you to come to the altar and we want to pray with you. If you don't know Jesus, or you feel like you're far from Christ, and you feel like God is calling me to reconcile, to renew, or maybe give my life to Christ for the first time, as we sing this next song, I'm going to invite you to come to the altar. I want to pray with you here today. A public prayer over your life that will set you on a new road as Jesus, your Lord and Savior. And if you're here today and the Lord has spoken to you in a special way and you're saying, this sermon was for me and I want prayer to help me apply the word to my life, as we sing this next song, I also invite you to come to the altar and we'll pray with you today. God bless you. God keep you.
Thank you for taking the time to listen to this sermon. We pray it blesses and encourages your life.